All right, welcome in. Wednesday live chat for anything you want. Valspar Championship, the Singapore Classic, March Madness. I don't care. Whatever you want, we'll go through it over the course of the next hour or so. Your questions, your concerns, your comments, get them in the chat right now. No need to repeat them. I'll just try to go through them in order as they appear on my stream thing here. So we will do that. Now, I will remind everyone that this is obviously a big week for sports. If you have not filled out a bracket and you want to watch my optimal bracket video, that'd be much appreciated. If you want to sign up for Pool Genius, all the stuff we can talk about, that would be much appreciated. I think it's a really good tool they have. I'll show you all that stuff in the works, but let's jump into this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the weather first for the Valspar Championship. And for the first time in at least a couple of weeks, there is a pretty significant difference between Thursday and Friday. So Thursday looks to be fairly straightforward. Friday is the day of concern here. So it looks like there is rain in the forecast all day long. An inch of rain, and then you've got the winds kicking up from 8-9 miles an hour to 18 or 19 miles an hour right around midday, 11 to 12. Then they are dying back down as you get into the evening. There are a lot of ways that this could go, and order of operations matters. If it starts to rain a lot, that could introduce preferred lies. That could delay the start. It could make the finish, they could stop early because of the rain. They could wipe the whole day, or they could just play through it, right? There's a lot of different scenarios. So if you're trying to get the correct weather wave, you might be right, but you also might get screwed on, oh, well, they got delayed and now the weather waves flip. I believe that if you wanted to go on a wave here, Thursday PM, Friday morning looks a little bit better to me, because if they do play through this, you could get a situation where Friday morning gets rain, Friday afternoon gets rain and wind. The concern would be Friday morning guys play in the rain. They stop, they suspend the round. The Friday afternoon guys don't play until Saturday, and they get better conditions on Saturday. Although Saturday is kind of a crapshoot with the thunderstorm. So right now I'd probably go, if you wanted to stack Thursday PM, Friday morning. But if you're going to stack and you're going to play multiple lineups, you should probably at least stack the other side too. So maybe if you're doing 10 lineups that are stacked, 7 on Thursday PM, Friday morning, and then 3 on the other side, just in case there is a suspension. Because I do think there's a pretty good chance there's a wave advantage this week because of the conditions and the chances of this being stopped. So you'll have to kind of play meteorologist after that. Garrett says, hey, let's be smart about this. Could we do a one and done ownership and DFS ownership at the top of the show with the weather? That way we can just knock it all out and I can address any other questions back to the start of the show. We've never done that before. Let's do it. Here is the DFS projected ownership. This is from rickrungood.com. It's my website. It's a giant database for golf betting and golf fantasy. These were updated just a couple hours ago. So at the top of the board, three guys reigning supreme. Xander Schauffele, nearly 40% projected ownership. Sam Burns, 30%. Justin Thomas, 21%, with Jordan Spieth at 9 or 10%. Brian Harman, 28% in the 9K range. He is the most popular there. In the 8K range, everything or a lot of it going to Doug Gim, with a little bit to Aaron Rye at 18%, Matt McNealy at 16%. In the 7K range, led by Taylor Moore, Lucas Glover, Sam Ryder, and Daniel Berger. The 6K range gets the nod to Joel Damon, who is getting a lot of love here, 13%. Most everybody else is sub 5% except for Bud Cauley, about 8.5%. And then the 5K range, there is nobody projecting to be over 2% right now. So if you want to be different, any of those guys in the 5K range should work. That was a good suggestion, Garrett. We're also going to do this. Here's the one and done ownership, projected ownership. Well, technically, it's the real ownership, but it might be different for your individual pool. There's three tiers. Sam Burns by himself, 28%. Nick Taylor and Brian Harman in tier two, 12%, 12%. And then everybody else below 6%. Xander Schauffele, Doug Gim, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Sung J.M., et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so three different tiers. We'll talk about the strategy of that, but now we have covered weather, we have covered DFS ownership, and we have covered one and done ownership. Wow, we are cooking. Garrett, congratulations. Well done. Good question. Do you think Xander can ever close a deal, and who's a good first round leader? Yes, I think Xander can close the deal. I mean, he has actually won golf tournaments before, but yeah, it's tough, but yes, he can close the deal. First round leader. Let's go a little bit. I usually do this for like 100 rounds. Let's go to 50 rounds. Guys who gain the most strokes to the field. Let's just do PGA Tour rounds though. What's that going to get us? Sammy Valamaki. Sammy Valamaki is a pretty good high upside player, low floor player. Gain strokes to the field less than half the time, but when he plays well, he is crushing it in the 4+ and 5+ categories. Xander as well. Viziegas also low floor, high ceiling. Ben Griffin, low floor, high ceiling. Mackenzie Hughes as well. Someone like a Adam Hadwin keeps it in play off the tee. We've seen him catch fire before. That would be pretty interesting. I also do want to look at everybody in this field over just round number one since the start of 2022. See if we can find some fast starters here. Xander Schauffele, Alejandro Tosti, Cam Young, Daniel Berger, Hayden Springer. It's a very, very small sample size, but he's also a very high upside player, but he only has 10. He doesn't play a lot of these events, so he doesn't have a lot of round one stuff. Where's Adam Hadwin? Here he is, gaining 0.8 strokes to the field. It's not great, but his upside is very good. Okay. Good afternoon, Rick. Hope all is well. Who's the producer's pick? So that is my wife, Mina. She's not here at the moment. She should be here soon, though. She's coming back from an appointment, and I believe she's going to join us when she gets here. When she does, I'll find out who her play is. Are we still fading UNC? All right. So here's the first bracket question of the day. If you didn't see it, I don't know anything about college basketball. I don't know anything about basketball in general. All I did is the math, okay? I just took the advancement odds for every single team for every single round, compared it to the public pick percentage, and found who the best and worst options are. And the reason that UNC left me scratching my head is because they are a number one seed who has a very low chance of winning the tournament, 2.8%, but a pick percentage, a public pick percentage, five times that. That's a huge deal. Okay. And it says that something fishy is going on, that they are not as good as the public believes them to be. Maybe somebody is hurt. I don't know how they got the number one seed. I don't particularly care, but the odds are not with them to make it to the Elite Eight and get farther than that. So yeah, I mean, listen, I think they're going to win pretty handily on Thursday. I think they're probably going to win on Saturday. And then I would start to get pretty worried about that, but I'm not even sure they might get bounced in that second game. So I don't know. Again, I know nothing about basketball. I'm just looking at the metrics here. We can talk more about that if anybody wants to. This is questions in regard to how weather would change things. So again, there's kind of a lot of outcomes on the weather conversation. If they go with preferred lies, that helps the better approach players. The good news is we were already heavily kind of going with the approach players, right? You know, when you look at the course key stats model, strokes gained approach is heavily correlated to success at this event. Scrambling also is as well. So I think that if they play lift clean in place, it'll help the approach players and will knock down scrambling a little bit. One, guys will get a perfect lie, get to have a perfect number. Greens will be more receptive. They'll probably miss fewer greens if they do play preferred lies. So I would give the around the green guys an even bigger advantage if they don't. Now, if they do not play preferred lies, that's where the scrambling stuff comes into play, because you're going to get mud balls. You're going to get guys that, you know, with water on the ball, maybe it's sitting down, maybe it's not sitting great. They're going to miss more greens. But the problem is we're not going to know that until Friday, right? So you might have to make some educated guesses here. The PGA Tour does love to get to preferred lies any chance that they can. Can you do a deep dive on Victor Perez? Sure. Also, do you know Fanny's on the bag? I don't know. Sometimes I get sent the caddy stuff But I have not seen it for this week. The other like that's also an area. So just like free business advice. I know there's a lot. I get emails all the time like, hey, I want to get into golf and data and information and metrics and whatever. And my big thing is join us, right? Come on in. But you've like be the best at something. Don't be the 50th best person at everything. There is a huge gap in equipment. There is a huge gap in injury reporting. There is a huge gap in caddy situations. If you could fill one of those gaps and be great at it and do it every single week, you would be of value. Just throwing that out there. Here's Victor Perez. Coming off the T3 in Puerto Rico, the T16 at the Cognizant, the T52 in Mexico. He missed two cuts at Farmers and Phoenix. I think we can cut him some slack there because he lost 6 strokes putting and he's usually a better putter. I do also have the DP World Tour data. It's one of the 6 tours that I cover on rickrungood.com with strokes gained metrics. And you'll see he's normally a very good putter. He's got really good results there. Yeah, okay. This isn't bad. Has he played Valspar before? And what's his price? Because those are kind of the things that we've got to figure out. I misclicked there. Played Valspar last year, gained 2.5 strokes putting, lost 4.5 around the green, but he's usually better than that and finished, 30-something? What's his price? I think I could get in on this. Have I scrolled too far already? I might as well just sort by name. 6,900. It's pretty good. Good call, Tyler. Are you going to be on site for the Valspar? No, next time I'm traveling is for the Masters, which obviously I'm very excited about. No matter how I model it, Grayson Sig continues to show up highly ranked. Want to know your thoughts on him. Yeah, let's check him out. It's probably been a week or two since we've done a Grayson Sig deep dive on the show here. Excuse me. So missed the cut of the Players, lost 3 strokes off the tee. I mean, Tony Finau lost like 3 strokes off the tee, so it is possible. Hasn't really putted all that well. He continues to cough up strokes on the putting surfaces. Ball striking tee to green play is there. Let me look at his stats. Very good scrambler. Very accurate. See, this is actually a very strange combination. He hits a ton of fairways. When he misses fairways, he misses them huge. That's like a swing problem. But he does hit a lot of fairways. Not very long off the tee. I don't really care about that. Good mid to long irons. Good scrambling. Poor putter. I'm warming. What I would love to see is I'd love to type in Valspar and have this show up that like he's gained 3 strokes putting here before. Okay. I kind of get my wish. Gained 6 putting here in 2022, lost 2.5 last year. Call me like a 6.5 or a 7 out of 10 relative, right? He does a lot of good things. Well, I guess I understand why he's modeling well for you. Excuse me. Rick, sitting in the middle of a pack of one and done with Decky last week, gun to your head, give me Nick Taylor, Christian Bezuidenhout, or Doug Gim, splitting hairs, I know, but are any of them better suited for a later, smaller event? Nick Taylor, I mean, listen, you're going to get Nick Taylor at Canada, right? That's just the first thing that pops into my head. The new version of Doug Gim, which we'll see how long it goes. Like, you either need to play Doug Gim now or never. I would still prefer Christian Bezuidenhout, but there's a chance this 5 tournament stretch for Doug Gim is all we ever get. And we don't know enough to say, let's save Doug Gim for later. I'll just tell you, Josh, I played a lot of Christian Bezuidenhout this week in one and dots. I believe he's trending in the right direction. I see a golfer who's gaining 3, 4, 5, 6 strokes on approach like he did at the Players. He's already a good putter and improved his putting from last year. I think he's about ready. I think he's about ready to do this. And I played quite a bit of him. I need him to keep it in play off the tee. Don't do anything crazy. And I like the rest from there. With everyone in golf only caring about money, do you think the majors need to add money to the prize pool? No. That's their differentiator, right? Is that nobody cares about the money at majors. And if you try to compete, you will lose and you will just be competing on things that you don't want to compete with. The PGA Tour did a bad job of this too. Like, you don't go to battle with your opponent's strengths. So no, I mean, people would, they would die to play the Masters with a $0 purse. So no. Is Sungjae starting to find it, or is it just better results without the stats being there? I will tell you, I did take a shot on Sungjae in I think one of my one and duns. I'm pretty far back, and I just couldn't believe how far he has dropped. This is a stat profile that is, it's better. It's not good. It is better than what he was doing from the start of 2024 until the Honda or the Cognizant. He's still missing fairways, but he's missing them. He doesn't miss them by much. He's an okay scrambler this year. The ball striking has really let him down. The second shot has really, really let him down. He's a small negative with the putter. Boy, it's getting better, but this is still a little worrisome. Maybe give me one more week, one more decent result. I could probably get behind this. With DK being lazy this week and over 100 players in the 6K range and below, do you think this will be the most popular week with stars and scrubs? Yeah, because there's a couple of things. Well, one, we know that the top three, Xander Schauffele, Sam Burns, are going to be in probably 60% of the lineups. One or the other is going to be in 60% of the lineups. Then if you also get Brian Harman in there, which is probably going to be a pretty natural starting point for a lot of people, you are dropping down pretty quickly. So yes, you will get a lot of stars and scrubs. The only situation in which you don't get a lot of stars and scrubs is if you start probably in the 9K range with a non-Brian Harman lineup, and then you can pile up a bunch of higher leverage mid-tier guys if you didn't feel that confident about the top. I don't think a lot of people will do that, though. liked Arizona before the video, loved them even more after. Yeah, listen, I don't know, man. Arizona's a team that I finished up on. Don't know anything about them. Hope they do well. Any optimism with Cam? I'm sorry. This was a Sungjae Im question, but I read it as I'm looking at ball striking numbers, but it says Im's ball striking numbers look a little bit better. So we did cover Im. Let's do the deep dive on Cameron Young then, because that was the other half of that question. So my bad. I was speed reading and got out ahead of myself. The good news is he is still one of the best drivers in the world. The ball striking is great. We're back to losing with the putter again. But he's capable of having an 8-stroke turnaround. He does it all the time, right? Lose 3 at Pebble, gain 5 in Phoenix. Gain 4 at Cognizant, lose 4 at API. He routinely has 8-stroke turnarounds with the putter. So it's not like this is starting a putting slump that is going to go on forever. That there's a lot of evidence that he just can bounce back and forth pretty quickly. So we're looking for one thing to go right for Cam Young. We're looking for probably a couple of things to go right for Sungjae Im. All that said, Cam Young is probably more exciting for me. Thanks for the tip on the clinch gloves. Yep. I love mine. They seem like a cool company. They should be paying you. They should. I would love to. But otherwise I'm paying them because they need to come. I've been waiting for the green small to come back into stock. So if they're listening, I need a small in green. I think I've got the other colors, but that's what I need. It hasn't been in stock forever. Thoughts on Springer or Johnson as budget savers? Let's do the Hayden Springer stuff because that is, he has already popped up. Like this is now the third time in the show that he's popped up. Again, high upside golfer. So we see when he plays well, he can gain a ton of strokes. He did it in Puerto Rico. He gained 5 in round number 2. And then he had 2 other rounds that he gained 2 or more. That's pretty impressive. You look at what he did in Mexico. He gained all 4 rounds there. Farmers, again, gained 5 in one of those rounds. And he just punted back 3.5 in one of the other opening rounds, but played well the rest. So very high upside golfer here. Very, very talented. I'm hopeful that he can take this 4 good rounds in Puerto Rico and continue that. This is going to be a more difficult field, but it's not going to be very, very difficult. But I still think he's probably better as a first round leader, as a showdown option, as a round by round, maybe a matchup scenario, like high risk, high reward type scenarios in smaller samples. But yeah, he's playing pretty good. Pivots in the 8K range. So let's go down to that 8K range. We see that most of the ownership is going to Doug Gim at 22%, then Maverick McNeely at 16%. I mean, Bezuidenhout is almost half the ownership of Doug Gim, and you guys know I like that already, so I don't think we need to talk about that. The other one is probably Keegan. So Keegan's at 12%, and I'm just too much of a believer in Keegan to think that if he doesn't find, like, if he doesn't, whenever he finds it again, he's going to contend. That's what he does. He's a very good ball striker, very good driver. I know that he lost 7 strokes putting at the Players, but again, he's been bouncing around with the flat stick. I just think he's too good to be passed up like this in a field like this, right? If you start spreading everybody back out, and I don't know what this is going to show because I haven't done this yet, but if you start taking everybody out to like 150 rounds, I bet you Keegan's probably one of the better players in this field. I hope. He's 11th. Okay. So, I mean, he's a top 10 player in this field long term, and I don't necessarily think he's being treated as such. Does Xander show up in the course key stats? I didn't see him when I sorted. Yeah, I think he's number one. Yeah, he's right here. Maybe you caught me in the middle of an update or something, Clinton, but yeah, he's got, I mean, Xander gets the best adjusted fit because Xander is so well-rounded through the bag. He's very good on approach. Oh, I'm actually doing 100 rounds. You can lower this and do last 36 rounds if you'd like. I bet you Xander's still up there. Yeah, he is. 1.21 adjusted there. With season long well underway, what would be a good... Oh, okay. So let me pull up my season long team here and see. Here's what I'm going to do. This is just how I'll answer your question. Like, let's just go to who are available players, right? So things that I would be looking for in terms of available players. Well, okay. So what's interesting now is we are close enough where you should probably be maybe stocking a couple of the live guys. So actually, I mean, while we're here, I'm just going to pick up Tyrrell Hatton, right? Like while we're here and I'm just going to drop. I mean, I love Norman Jeong, but he's droppable. I love Joe Highsmith. He is droppable. I love, those are probably the guys I want to drop the most. So I'll drop. I love Norm, but I'll be able to pick up Norm later. So I'm going to grab Tyrrell Hatton here and kind of stash him for, I don't know if I'm going to need him for the Masters, but now somebody else can't get him. Let's see what else we have here. And I want to see who are like the highest rostered guys. I'm just looking for golfers who might be trending upwards. Nico Echevarria, Joel Damon might be trending upwards. Tiger Woods is available in my league. Parker Cootie. These would have to be guys that you would play in some of these smaller events. But yeah, I don't know. You could also do it like this, right? You could also do there used to be a way to, oh, here we go. Like last 14 days or something and see who's playing the best over the last couple of weeks. Matty Schmid might be pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see anything super great out there other than trying to pick up guys for major championships. With so little 7K guys, how would you rate the 6K field first to last? Well, I think the best options are, well, we talked about Victor Perez. I think that Bud Cauley is a good option. I'm not quite ready to give up on Gary Woodland just yet. And then Hayden Springer as kind of a higher upside golfer. Model Mania. Oh, okay. Gosh, that's hard to read. 15 on driving accuracy, 20 on approach, last 15. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I'm going to run this model for JS. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the custom model, rickrungood.com. We are going to put 15 on driving accuracy. That's what he wants. He wants 20 on approach last 24. 20 on approach last 24. He wants 15 on around the green for last 24. Okay. He wants 15 on putting last 36. It's weird putting in somebody else's metrics like this. He wants 10 on bogey avoidance and 10 on course history. So 10 on bogey avoidance. Did I screw this up? Why is that only 75 so far? 20 approach, 15. Did I do 15 on scrambling? Maybe I didn't do 15 on scrambling. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, and then 10 on Innisbrook, right? So JS's model is Xander 1, Doug Gim 2, Brian Harman 3. Wow, look at this. Look at this run. Ben Silverman, Andrew Putnam, Matt McNeely, Grayson Sig, 4 through 7. Spieth 8, Todd, Brendan Todd 9, Thorbjørn Olsen 11. Or Thorbjørn Olsen 10. There you go. Yeah, so this question's come up a little bit. So Ricky Castilla, because he's popping off, right? So when you are looking at this, Ricky Castillo pops up a lot because he has really good numbers. They're all just Korn Ferry events so far, right? So he's played 5 Korn Ferry events, or he's played 6 in 2024, but the last 5 of them have all been very good. All 5 are top 20s. 4 of them are top 15s. 3 of them are top 7s. So when you do any kind of short-term raw strokes gained, Ricky Castillo pops up a lot. I'd be lying to you if I told you I knew anything about his game. I don't. I just see a golfer who's gaining a lot to the field. He won an event in 2023. I think you could probably do a lot worse. He's playing great golf. That includes last week. Using weighted strokes gained with a field mostly played on other tours makes sense, but better strokes gained at majors are more impressive than strokes gained at Rocket Mortgage. Yeah. So Phil, that's kind of the point, right? So strokes gained is not just tour, or weighted strokes gained is not just tour related. It's event related. So you do get more credit for playing well at a major, and you get knocked for playing poorly at the John Deere Classic or whatever, right? So it is relative. Takes into account everybody else in the field, the course, takes into account a lot of factors and applies essentially a metric to every single field, every single event, and then takes the way that you've played in those events and either adjusts you up or adjusts you down. Assuming putting doesn't derail him, is this a good spot for Glover? Of course it is. But the assumption of putter not derailing him is a pretty serious assumption, right? Outside of that, if we forget all about putting, he is one of the most accurate drivers on the PGA Tour. He is one of the best second shot players on the PGA Tour. His scrambling is good enough considering the fact that he absolutely cannot putt. He lags it very well, even though he does three putt a lot, but he just is giving it away. You know what I mean? So the assumption, Scott, that you're making, you are correct that if you forget about putting, perfect spot for Glover, but that is a pretty big thing to forget about. Hey, Rick, hope you're having a great day. Thank you, Jay. You as well. Which one do you think is a better pick in one and done this week, Keith Mitchell or Justin Thomas? So this is very relative to your own situation. So let me go to my thing here. So this is Pool Genius. This is the one and done tool that I consulted on. So for example, you're saying Keith Mitchell or Justin Thomas. So for me, like, I've already used Justin Thomas, but he does rank better for me than Keith Mitchell does. Now this does, it takes into account how big my pool is. It takes into account what other events are still to come and their payouts. I assume, and you know, I think personally that Justin Thomas is too good to use at this event. Okay. I just think that there's going to be a lot more money in better spots for him than to try to use him here is my personal opinion. But I suggest, I mean, you should go check this out. It's cheap. Actually, God, do I have the link in the description? If I do not, producer Mina will drop it into the description right now. But there is a link that all the Pool Genius stuff is like 55% off for Rick Rungood. It's like, because I helped him on the golf one and done, because we have a really good relationship for March Madness, they did a very nice thing and gave, it's like 55% off right now. So if you wanted to get in on golf, if you wanted to get in on the bracket stuff, now would be a good time. So like I put my bracket stuff in here and it gives you a couple options, right? It gives you what the best bracket is. It gives you a couple different variations of this. You can choose what's best for you and it'll pump you out brackets with a lot of edge. There's so much data in here. I couldn't even believe how much data was in here for basketball. And then also they've got the survive. So I did not know March Madness Survivor was a thing. And I'm very excited to learn about that this year. So you pick one team every day. If that team wins, you move on, just like a NFL Survivor. And I freaking love that. So there's a lot of strategy in that. And Pool Genius has a tool for that as well. If you want to get into one of those leagues, I have a special one on Splash. So it's $30 an entry. It's winner take all. There's already almost 200 people in it. You pick, again, one golfer every day or one team every day to advance. But here's the thing with this. So I also partner with Splash. So for every entry you put into this, you get an entry into a free roll for the Houston Open. So free entry. So if you put 30 entries into the Survivor, you get 30 entries into the free roll next week for golf tiers. And then the winner gets a subscription to rickrungood.com, cash, Splash swag. If you finish 2 through 10, you get monthly subscriptions to rickrungood.com. If you finish in top 100, you get weeklies. So we wanted to do a little collaborative thing, which I thought was really nice. So all the links that you need to, for that stuff is in the description. I wouldn't be talking about it if I didn't think it was a really good tool, quite honestly. Okay. If you refresh this YouTube, the link is in the description. Thank you. Okay. Deep dive on Mackenzie Hughes. Yes. Let's do that. I have no idea what to expect here. I'm assuming a pretty good scrambling situation. I'm assuming a pretty good. Oh, wow. What's he doing with the putter? What is he doing with the putter? Oh, boy. Very good around the green. Decent scrambler considering the fact that he's missing a ton of putts. Not good there. Oh, boy. This is tough. He's spraying it off the tee. He's struggling around the green or on the greens, excuse me. That is bizarre. That's worrisome. Ow. I do not feel comfortable rolling out Montgomery this week. That's just me. What is my betting card looking like? Okay, so if you're new here, don't let me spend your money. Don't let anybody spend your money, okay? Go spend it however you want. I'll just let you know where I'm at. So if you want to use that for information, do it. I made 3 bets this week. I have Sam Burns at 12-1. I have Christian Bezuidenhout at 45-1. And I have Jimmy Stanger at 150-1. That is what I've done. A couple questions in a row about Jorge Campillo and a couple questions about Joel Damon. So we'll hit both of those real quick. Damon did, I'm pretty sure his ball striking metrics were the best on the weekend last week. Is that right? Gained like 7 strokes ball striking over the final 2 days. And this is much more in line with what we've seen from Joel Damon when he's at his best. Still giving up strokes on the putting surface, but it feels like we're headed in the right direction here. And he keeps it in play off the tee. This is a buy spot, in my opinion. Jorge Campillo, yeah, I've been in on Jorge a little bit because he's been relatively cheap when he's played over here on the PGA Tour. If you go back and look at all his DP World Tour stuff, very good, well-rounded profiles with decent results. And then trying to get his feet underneath him here on the PGA Tour where he played well in Mexico. Didn't really play particularly well at the Cognizant or Puerto Rico. But listen, he's a seasoned vet. Like has been doing this for a very, very long time. I generally like this guy. Did a lot of SIG conversations. If we didn't have Scotty in the last 4 weeks of one and done, are we busted? No, I don't think so. I mean, it's going to be hard, but there's still 4 major championships. There's RBC Heritage, Wells Fargo, Memorial, Travelers, and 2 playoff events. So you're talking about 4 majors and 6 like signature events. You're talking about like 10 events. I think that's okay. Thoughts on the shirt? Of your shirt or my shirt? I can't see your shirt. But shirt's great. Like the real GFD, I'm a firm believer in ordering the menu item donning the restaurant's name. Okay. I guess I get that. But at the same time, wouldn't they just name like their highest margin item Jerry's Burger or whatever? The thing they want to sell the most of. It's like when on the menu, there's one item in a gold box. It's just the item that's they make the most money on, right? I don't know. I would like some examples. If you have some examples, I would love examples.
I guess. But is that the best thing on the menu?
I don't think everybody's only trying to make money. They're trying to have a good reputation.
I don't know. But is the Island Burger the best thing on the menu?
I mean, that's what I always get.
Between Finau and Gim for one and done this week, with high wins expected, do you think that Finau's speed gives him any advantage? I think he's got advantages in other ways, but I not because of the win. Can you give me two players you think can make the cut under $6,500? Okay. How about where's Bud Cauley? Bud Cauley, 64, Grayson Sigg, and Ricky Castillo and Nico Echeverria. And that is all. Can you go over the course horses for the next 3 weeks? Okay. So the next 3 weeks would be, let me pull up the schedule. This is on the Holy Grail, by the way. Memorial Park, TPC San Antonio, and oh, Augusta National. Okay, so TPC San Antonio, Memorial Park, and Augusta. So the best of all, well, let's go with a little bit of a sample size, at least 8 rounds, I guess. Zalatoris at Augusta, Tony Finau at Memorial Park, Corey Connors at TPC San Antonio, Rahman Spieth at Augusta, Damon at Memorial Park, Scheffler at Augusta, Hoffman at TPC San Antonio. Excuse me. Okay. But as these fields come out, obviously you can start. Like Jerry Pate should not be on here. We can just do the last 8 rounds and last 8 years and get rid of Jerry Pate. So you can go through this all you want. Check it out. Good luck. All right. Let's dive like quickly. Here's my overall thoughts on the one and done scenario. If you're front running, you take Sam Burns. I think that Xander and JT are probably too good to play here. If you are in the middle of the pack, Nick Taylor, Brian Harman, if you are trying to make up ground, I took a combination of Sung J.M., Tony Finau, Keegan Bradley, and Christian Bezuidenhout. Guys that I think could actually win and are going to be less than 5% owned. Does strokes gain take into account the fact that Scotty hits more greens, so in reality might have more long putts compared to a less accurate iron player? So I think I've heard this argument before where someone will be like, Jordan Spieth has the opportunity to gain more strokes on approach because his drives are so far off. Right? Because hitting it to 10 feet from 200 yards in the rough is worth more than hitting it to 10 feet from 120 yards in the middle of the fairway. So I guess technically, yes, that is true. But at the same time, like you're still being graded against the shot that you are hitting. Like you are still better than that shot at that shot than other people who've had that shot. So I think there's a little, like, it's not as easy to say Scottie Scheffler's losing more. It's always like this. Scottie Scheffler loses more strokes putting because he hits so many more greens. And it's like, or he gives himself more 10 foot putts. Like, well, no, he still misses more 10 foot putts than everybody else does. But that's, you know, that's a much longer conversation for a different day. Has the March Madness optimal changed at all on updated pick percentages? So I mean this in the nicest way possible. Like, I just don't care to update this. Okay. Right. Like, this is a lot of time and energy, and I don't think it's changing enough to matter. I'm in on Arizona. If it popped up and said, oh, well, now Auburn has a very slight edge. Okay. Like, it's not, I don't care enough. If you want the updated, I mean, the updated stuff is out there. I think Pool Genius has been updating it. Like, if you just copy, all I did was copy and paste it. So if you just copy and paste it, maybe do a little V lookup, you can get all the updated stuff. I'm just not going to go through the time and trouble of doing that. But you can. Auburn and Arizona are pretty good picks to win it all. I'm in on Harmon this week. I liked what I saw in, where were we last week? Florida. I guess we're still in Florida, but at the players, putted it really well. I think you've got to keep it in play here. He's gained like 14 strokes putting or 14 strokes on approach in the last 2 weeks. Yeah. I'm in on Brian Harmon. Yeah. Bud Cauley's kind of he's a Florida guy who should be completely ready to rock and roll. I like the way he sets up for this place. I bet him, I think, to finish top 20. I'm in on Bud this week. Does it make sense to play position this early in a one and done? Yeah, I think it always does, Brian. I'm not doing anything drastic, but yeah. The more that you, because the earlier that you can start putting people behind the eight ball, the better, right? Because I'm behind in a lot of one and dones. And I'm already feeling the pressure of having to go farther down the list, taking percentage points off of my equity to try to be the only person and try to jump up. The more that compounds week in and week out, you know, the farther behind I get, the more risk I have to take, the farther it just that grinds on entries. So I think if you're at the top, you should be grinding on entries, right? You should just be like Mike Tyson leaning on a guy, right? Like, you should be holding my, like, I should have to hold your body weight the entire time. It should grind on me. I should be tired. You should be taking body punches, like that, all that stuff. You should be doing that to me. And it, like, exactly. And if you don't, then like you're giving me life. Like you're giving me energy. If every job was paid the same, what job would you want? This one. All right. Andrew's asked it like three times, so I'm going to have to address it, and I apologize in advance. He says, are you aware of any golf stats services that track performance based on weather, wind, all that stuff? It's not that easy. And if someone tells you that they do in the current situations, it is probably really bad data. Wind, it's not easy enough to say, wow, it was a windy day, or averages were over 12 miles an hour. It matters about direction. It matters about gust. It matters about if that direction changes. It matters about the moment that you're in. Until someone is solving that shot by shot and also removing all the other noise, what if I had a bad day and it happened to be windy? Do I get to blame it on the wind? What if I had a really great day and it was windy? Do I have to say I'm great in the wind? Like, it is not usable. It's not. You can use it if you want, but I think it's really bad data. It's my opinion. Oh, hello. Hi, Bill. I mean, there's not really much to deep dive on Cauley, right? He's only played, I think, four or five times in 2024. He's obviously coming back from that big injury. He missed like 3 years. He's played four times, twice on the Korn Ferry, twice on the PGA. He's made all four cuts, finished 21st at the Cognizant. Florida guy. This is, you know, kind of, I don't want to say a home game for him, but close enough. Gained almost throughout the bag at PGA National. The shots that I saw from him looked good. Yeah, very, very cheap. Having trouble in the 7K range. Okay. Well, I don't know what you're looking for, but Davis Thompson, who played well, and I mean, made like two eagles and seven or eight birdies, I think, at Sawgrass and missed the cut. That's fine. He played great before that. $7,000, I'd be in on that. Sam Ryder-ish, I'm like, I don't think we're going to get the same 27 birdies or whatever he made at TPC Sawgrass, but he's now got a couple of top 25s in a row. And then I'm still a believer in Thorbjørn based on what he does globally. So those are the three that I kind of get going about. 6 out of 10, pick 2 and a 1 and done, considering Seabez, Gim, Nick Taylor, any future events. I mean, you can hold Nick Taylor. You should probably burn either one of those guys right now. No, I will not be updating the data. I will not be updating the March Madness data. let's see. All right. If you want to update that March Madness sheet, you go to Pool Genius, you go to Bracket Picks, you go to Data Grid, and you copy and paste this information in. You might have to do a little bit of a VLOOKUP to just get, you know, look up Connecticut for this and return this row and just place it in these two columns and it'll update. It'll update. All right, real quick, before I forget, the Pool Genius stuff is linked in the description. The Splash contest, there's actually two this week. So there's the Survivor with the free entries into Houston Open next week. And then there is still the guaranteed Valspar Championship tiers, which is almost full and is guaranteed and that will fill. I want to point out one thing, and I want to ask you guys this, because I like this a little bit better. So there was a... this week, the tiers are bigger. Instead of being like only 5 or 6 guys in each tier, they're a lot bigger, which I liked. And then, you know, I'm just going to rip through this real quick. And then tier 6 is, oh boy, these guys stink. Tier 6 is like everybody else, which means you're going to get a lot more and a lot different runouts here. Do you like that? I do. Let me know about that. If we like this, we can continue this, but I like that for this week. Which golfers have really high club head speed? There's probably a couple ways to get this. It's on everybody's profile page. So it's right here. But assuming you don't want to go through every single golfer's profile, let me see if it's on the Holy Grail. Stats page. It should be under, I think it's considered an off the tee stat. Club head speed. Yeah. So Cam Champ, Cam Young, Taylor Montgomery, Adam Shank, Joseph Bramlett, Kevin Tway, Gary Woodland would be like your top guys in this field. Well, that was easy to find. Course history is like good, not great. Outright pick from the top of the board is Sam Burns. In on Thorbjørn. What's happened to Justin Suh? I was just looking at that the other day. Really ugly stuff. Just hasn't done anything well. It's shocking to me. I thought he was probably in for a big year. Talked about Sam Ryder. I will not create the best lineup because you don't want my lineup. You can create your own lineups. How many tabs do you have open during a live stream? Right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Thoughts on live players not being available in a one-and-done pool? For what? They're going to be available in majors, right? That's how it would work. Who do you think will win this week? Plain and simple, Sam Burns. Middle of the pack in a small 10-man one and done. If your options are Burns, Gim, Taylor, or Harmon, Burns or Harmon. I would, if it's only a 10-man, I would check to see who has already used Sam Burns. If like two guys ahead of you have already used Sam Burns, you should play Sam Burns. If everybody ahead of you has Sam Burns, you should probably use Brian Harmon. Rick, can you tell us what you voice tracked for Full Swing 2 and what episode is it supposed to be used? Okay. The biggest part of it, I think, is definitely in episode 6. So the first big one, I think, is episode 6, about the 9.5 minute mark. It is when Keegan is driving in his car. There's also another longer one, I think, in that same episode. It's showing the Phoenix Open, and it's explaining how Ryder Cup points work, I think. And then it is, I think there's just like little stuff throughout, but those are like the big, like multiple sentences at a time, just to pull back the curtain a little bit on that. So I've gotten some questions about it. It's always a lot of fun working with those guys. So the way that it happens is, you know, basically they take stuff that they listen to like everything from everywhere, and they take stuff that has been said throughout the year. And then I re-record it. So it is like stuff that I said, but they wanted in high quality, you know, if someone else was talking over me during a podcast or something like that. So then we just kind of re-record it, and then I send them the files, and then they put it in, is how that worked for me. I don't know if that's how it works for everybody, but that is generally how I did it. What is your favorite thing to eat? Ooh, pizza. Or anything buffalo chicken related. We have not done a Seamus Power conversation in a very long time because it hasn't been warranted. Let's find out, Blake, if it is warranted for this week. No, unfortunately. When Seamus was his best, which I might have to go back a little bit farther, he was well-rounded, but mostly a good approach player who was accurate off the tee. We're not anywhere close to that. We are hemorrhaging strokes up and down the board. We're getting some surprisingly decent finishes. He's playing better on, well, here he played better on Saturday and Sunday at Bay Hill. This seems like a guy pretty far off to me. I wish that wasn't the case. Love Seamus, but that looks quite troublesome. Bounce back from Nico? Yes. Have you placed any futures? Yeah, I've got 3 bets in on the Masters, and I hate all of them. I've got Adam Scott, Justin Thomas, and somebody else. Who else did I get at the Masters? Justin Thomas, Adam Scott. Oh, Will Zalatoris. That one I'm fine with. But boy, have those aged just horribly. Question about underdog. For best ball, do the payouts happen after each round, or will they just accumulate until you lose? Ooh. Actually, I don't know. I don't know that. Speaking of underdog, there are... So from we're like 19 days away from the Masters. So I am in full on like major championship best ball, which I will show you. I'm not sure I'm ready to, I'm almost ready to get there. We're going to draft a team in a second. We will do a little underdog stuff in a second, but I'm almost at the end of these questions and I want to make sure I don't miss anything else first, but I'm in full on. Like, I'm going to be drafting a lot of teams in the next 19 days. Do you feel that Wyndham Clark chickened out on many holes in the final round of the Players? No, I just don't think he was very good on the weekend. I don't think he had his best stuff. Any other NCAA Madness tournaments that you are sponsoring beyond Splash? No, everything's on Splash. Can we see strokes gain distribution 5+? Yeah. This is last 150 rounds. Xander Schauffele, Ben Griffin, Keegan Bradley, Akshay, Adam Hadwin. Does it make more sense to roll out someone with better course history or a player who is hot? I prefer the hot. Just check out my life. Hey-o! Bigger tiers. Good. Okay, good. Tennessee to win it all. Bet the house. I don't know. We're talking golf here, people. Go back to your shanties. Can we add club head speed as an option to the custom model? Yeah. I'll add it to the list. Didn't hear anything about Taylor Moore. I'm about to have a coughing situation. Let's look at Taylor Moore. So talented. I wish he was playing better. Let's see what he's been up to. So talented. I'll tell you what, decent week at the Players. This would be a good time for him to get hot, right? He's had, you know, three of his last 4 weeks have been really impressive approach weeks. Can't drive it like that, though, around this place. You got to be better than that. Scrambles okay. Doesn't drive it all that accurately. Loses with the putter. Feels like we're close, but I'm not quite there yet. What's the best golf doc about any top player? Are there a lot of golf docs? I don't know. But go watch The Greatest Game Ever Played. I think it's a Disney movie. It's not a documentary. Oh, yeah. There was an asked question about your pick, but I skipped it because you weren't here. Who's your pick? Which one? She said Taylor. That could be Montgomery, Moore, Nick. Are you taking all of them? Pendrith? You're taking all of them? Or you want to commit to one? She said, that's for me to know and for you to find out. She did say it with that accent. Have you run the NCAA tournament leverage using different sportsbook odds? No, I use actual like simulations and stuff, not sportsbook odds. Okay, Underdog just paid out first round for best ball. There you go. What grips do you favor on your own swing clubs? I only use Golf Pride MCCs. Standard in whatever color I like. If we don't use Doug Gim this week, where else could he be used? Exactly. Right? I agree. So if you're not going to use, I think the other place would have been Summerlin. We're past it. So if you don't use Doug Gim here, you're probably not using him unless he's just now this new great player. If he is this new great player, you will have opportunities to play him, but that is not obvious yet right now. All right. Do we need to talk about March Madness? Here's what I'll do. I'm happy to be here for a while. I'm going to draft a team on, well, let's see how long it takes for this to fill. I'm going to draft a major championship team right now on Underdog. But let's see. Okay. I have to give Armina an opportunity. So I'll cue her by saying we are now entering the Underdog portion of the show. Okay. So you can go get a $100 deposit bonus on Underdog. Link is in the description. I will also pull up. So I'm waiting for, so we need two more spots to fill for that. While we're waiting for those to fill, let's look at the props a little bit. There's a couple of guys that I'm buying early in this event. Tony Finau I'm buying. You know, I liked the under on his strokes, but I think it moved from 69.5 to 69. If you wanted to take a little bit of a flyer on him to be inside the top 10 after the first round, that's 2.5x. You could do that. So I'm buying him and I'm buying Cam Young. I'm buying, let's see here. Brian Harman. So like you could do something. I mean, if you like, this is basically a top 10 parlay, right? Between Finau and Brian Harman, 2.5x, for each of them. So it's 18.75x. So 100 to win 1875. Now that's not super likely. Obviously, that's why you're getting the odds there. But let's do it. Let's put $20 on it to win 375. The other thing that I saw was we need one more to fill that major championship draft. They've got the matchups here. Aaron Rye versus Bo Hostler has my attention. And Adam Hadwin over Maverick McNealy has my attention. Those would be the two that I do there. Why does that say 18? That's not right, is it? I just want to. Oh, what does this think I'm doing? Am I going to get this thing? It's trying to give me This should be like 3x, not 18x. Did I just find a glitch? Is this going to pay me out 18 times on this if this hits? No way, right? Did that just work? Did I just break the matrix? Let me go look at my lot. And of course the draft is starting now. We have the second pick in the draft. Let me just see if that's actually. No, it's not. It was 3x. Of course, I didn't just glitch the whole system. Okay. We have the second pick in the major championship draft. We are just going to take Scotty or probably John Rahm. We're not going to get Scotty, which stinks. So we're going to have to hope that Rahm is in good form. All right. So there's Scotty number one. Do we take Rory? You want Xander? Let's just take Rombo. I don't think I have a lot of Rombo. So what I did is I did a bunch of drafts on autopilot with my rankings and such, just to get like a baseline out there. And then I started to, because I wanted access to different, you know, all different positions. And I did not get a lot of second picks. So we'll go Rahm here, which is nice. So if you haven't seen this yet, you're drafting just for major championships. So the live guys are way more valuable now than they were in season long best ball. There are each major is a round. So like if you have to advance out of the Masters, you have to advance out of the PGA Championship, you have to advance out of the US Open, and then the final payouts, the top payouts are for the Open. So I've been leaning more on major championship stuff or Masters because it's more predictable. And also it allows you to make sure that you advance. And we really know who's going to be in that field much more than we know who's going to be in the Open Championship. Obviously we have an idea. And if you go to rickrungood.com/bestball, I have a tool for this that shows you like who's currently qualified for all of these events. Wyndham Clark just went 9 overall. Jordan Spieth just went 10. So, okay, we're here at the Masters. We could take Zalatoris. We could take JT, Colin, or Max Homa. Now, we are going to get another pick here right after the turn. So we're going to end up with two of those four. So I'll take Zalatoris. I'm happy to do that. And we'll take whoever's left. Thomas Morikawa Homa is going to round out our... Yeah, okay, that's fine. We'll take Homa. We don't need to get crazy off ADP right now. I'm happy with that. We'll have to start changing our ADP situations in a second. We can talk about if you want to get your March Madness questions in. I don't know anything about basketball, but I'll show you the math and I'll show you who you should pick and who you should bounce and who all that stuff. If you want to get your March Madness questions in, I'll take those when we're done this. It should just be a few more minutes. Fleetwood going 15 is pretty interesting. I'm assuming that people who are in this are watching this because it did fill pretty quickly after I fired it up. So I don't want to give away too much here, but I am going to target a couple of guys here coming up. Hideki, Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick's a pretty good pick, especially now if he's just fixed as a driver. There's a link in the description if you want to get in on Underdog. Helps me, helps you. They've done a very good job of putting a lot of new props out. I love what Splash has done. I love what Underdog has done. I love what Pool Genius has done. It's really the only reason why I partner with these. You know, I turn down a lot of stuff. I have to really believe in it. Wow, Burns is off the board already at 20. That's a bit early to me. But he also has Hideki, which I like a lot. So we're going to get two pretty quick picks here. We're not going to go Bryson because we worry a lot about Masters, although he'd be great at the US Open. So what we're going to do here is we are going to take DJ. Just won Live Las Vegas. Obviously, Augusta's a great spot for him. And then we are probably going to take... We're going to take Finau. The idea being, I think he's trending in the right direction. He can spray it. The one thing that he has a problem with is keeping it in play off the tee, and he can hit it wherever the world he wants at Augusta National. And if he continues on this trajectory, I think we are going to get a decent run from Tony. When he's at his best, remember when he was at his best, just piling up great finishes, high upside. He has shown a lot of contention at majors, right? Go finish top five at all these majors again. So I'm giving him a crack. So we've got Rahm, Zalatoris, Homa, DJ, Finau for major championships. I'm pretty happy with that. God, we're going to get stuck with Adam Scott again. I have a lot of Adam Scott already, and I have a lot of Nick Taylor already. So I'm going to try to be a little bit different here. I'm going to go Harris English, who I believe is going in the right direction. And at majors, he's better than a lot of guys. And then we are probably going to have to go with Nick Taylor again here. Is that right for me? I think it is. He's in everything. Great approach player. Has shown he does not falter in big spots. I'm okay with that. So we've got Rahm, Zalatoris, Homa, DJ, Finau, Harris English, Nick Taylor. Okay. That's fine. I've got my eye on a couple of other guys here. Again, I am putting a lot of emphasis on the Masters. I want to make sure I get out of that round. Oh, I did see somebody down there that I thought would be pretty interesting. But I don't know if I have to take him yet or not. Maybe on the second pick, maybe in that ninth round. Ooh, Jake Knapp's ADP is down to 50 and a half. Tell you what, hell of a lot of firepower there. And because it is best ball, you can kind of get away with it, right? If he plays well, awesome. If he misses the cut, that's why you have nine other guys on your team when you're here in the eighth round. So I might snag this Jake Knapp firepower. Hoagie's a pretty decent pick. There goes Højgaard. Okay. Wow. Chris Kirk's falling. And I kind of agree with it. So let's grab Knapp. I do not have a lot of Knapp. And then, oh gosh. All right. There is still one guy. What's Bezuidenhout's major chance? He's got to be in the Masters, right? He finished inside the top 50 last year. There's still somebody that I'm holding. Let's go Bezuidenhout. I don't have a lot of him. And I'm going to try to grab this guy in the 10th with my final pick. Not going to give him up yet, but he is, he's in every major. He's in every major. There's a guy lurking here who's in every major. I mean, some of these guys are too, right? And some of these guys have won and they will eventually be in, but there is one guy who's in every major. That has not gone yet. And he's not playing great, but oh, there you go. Okay. It was Gary Woodland. So good job there by Tino. So now we've opened this up. We can kind of just grab anybody. I think it's going to be Pavone would have been another option for us. Grillo would have been another option for us. So we got sniped pretty good there. Let's go. We got 20 seconds. I don't even know if Doug Gim is in any of these. That's the problem. 15 seconds. I'll just take Ekrot. I panicked. I think I panicked there. Rahm, Zalatoris, Homa, DJ, Finau, English, Nick Taylor, Jake Knapp, Bezuidenhout, Ekrot. I'm fine with the first nine. I think I panicked on Ekrot a little bit. Link is in the description. I'll show you how this works. So $10 for that contest that I get in, $50K to first, and it's only the majors. But those big payouts come at the Open Championship. So you got to make it through round one, the Masters. Quarterfinals is the PGA Championship. Semis is the US Open, and then that championship round is the Open. So it's pretty sick. It's very, very sick. Link in the description. Promo code is Rick. You'll get a deposit match. You'll help me. You'll help yourself. Everybody wins. Okay. Lastly, this bracket thing. I think it's if you are in a league of more than like 100 people, picking UConn to win it all is probably wrong. Picking Purdue to win it all is not bad. There's just no leverage, but there's no negative leverage. It's just equal, right? Picking Houston is probably a little bit wrong. Arizona, Auburn, these next five here are probably the best plays. Arizona, Auburn, Tennessee, Iowa State, Marquette. Picking one of those is good. Picking North Carolina to win it all, bad. Picking Duke to win it all, decent. Okay. There is also a weird situation for some of these teams, like Alabama. Like, everyone has Alabama going to the Sweet 16, but not to the Elite Eight. So, like, if you have Alabama going any farther than that, you have like a ton of leverage all the way. The other thing that I saw that stood out to me compared to last year is there's no reason to get rid of UConn earlier than you need to. I think it was Gonzaga one year where it was like, or I don't know who, maybe it was Gonzaga. Like, you got to bounce them before you get to the Elite Eight or something like that. I just think you take a non-UConn winner, and then you just have UConn losing to them wherever is natural. So for Arizona, it's in the Final Four. If it's somebody from another side of the bracket, just have them losing in the championship game. Feels like the best way. All right. Sign up for RickRunker.com. Sign up for the splash contests. Sign up for Pool Genius. All this stuff has been vetted by me, right? Like, I try to be Costco. If it gets to Costco, you know it's a good product and you know you're getting a good deal on it. If it gets to me talking about it, you know it's a good product and you know you're going to get a good deal on it. That's basically what I try to be, because I turn away all the crappy stuff and just give you the stuff that I actually use and I actually believe in. Enjoy a week of madness, my friends. It's been an absolute pleasure doing this again. But it is lunchtime for me and I got to go to the post office. So I will talk to you guys later. Goodbye.